opinion of Rashi and Tosfos is that as long as it's pagum purta, it's just a little bit of negative taste, then it'll be mutter in the taroves, as opposed to something inedible that's going to be mutter on its own. Midaraisa. And how do you learn these two concepts? So the Rashba says that be'in always needs bittel. Bittel barov. We have a concept, but there's a concept of tam ke'ikr. You have to use shishim to mevatel tam. So the answer to that is when it's negative taste, you're not worried about tam ke'ikr, because either the first idea in the Prima Gunam is that the chiddush of the Torah of tam ke'ikr was only stated by gulei nachrim and by negative things, and that's not found by something that's negative. It's something that's only by good taste, not by negative taste. Or that perhaps more accurately is the gilui of something that's negative, like something that's not really la'achila, that the fact that something's not human edible is mutter, is megalatos, is something that's negative to your tarov is going to be mutter as well. That's the opinion of the Rashba. Inedible in and of itself is mutter, but once it goes into tarov, it needs bitl berov, and the tam will be mutter because it's negative. And the third opinion is the Ran. We'll elaborate more on him today. The Ran's opinion is, anytime something is not giving you hana, it's mutter, and therefore, if you're eating the piece in and of itself, why are you eating it? It must be taste good, so that would be a problem. However, if it's totally inedible and disgusting, so then it's going to be mutter midaraisa. And however, once it's in a taroves, so then it doesn't, fundamentally, it doesn't even need rov. Fundamentally, tam, as long as it's detrimental, it's not positive, so the tam is mutter. The Ran, though, gives a nafkamina, which is, he thinks, according to the Rashba's opinion, let's say you add 5 ounces of vinegar into your cholent and increase it, and you had a lot of guests, and it's going to increase the volume of your cholent to make your cholent bigger. And so you're happy about that. According to the Ran, he says, according to me, it should perhaps be problematic because you get hana from the fact that there's isser being introduced to your food. As opposed to, he says, according to the Rashba, it should be mutter because there's still bitl barov and the taste is still negative. So Shulchan Aruch seems to follow the opinion of the Rashba, because the opinion of the Ran is only brought somebody made a thought to become machron on this question, but the implication being that Lamaisa, we still follow the main opinion of the Rashba. And the Rikvi Eger was bothered with, and he has this in Memdalin, Kelekama, and also in Kosamovav. What's the difference between this and by Chametz? Chametz is another nafkamina between the Rashba and the Ran, whether we match it for something like Chametz. Chametz doesn't have bittel. And yet, there's a discussion, no tam lefkam over there. And the Ran says, no tam lefkam, but Chametz is mutter, because bottom line, you're getting hana from the Isser. And the Rashba, however, in the Tshuva is Machmir. He says, you can't say no tam lefkam by Chametz, because you need bittel. And bittel, there's no bittel by Chametz. And Rav Kiviger thinks there's a steer, as we said, between the Shulchan Aruch here and there, because over here we're following the Rashba and Chametz or not. So his basic answer is either they're more studded. Really, the idea that Mashu on Pesach is Aser is really just either a Techumra, or we have an idea that Yavish be Yavish, there might be Bittel B'chametz according to the opinion of the Rosh and Rashi, and or the Shiltos that Mashu B'Pesach doesn't actually exist B'Diyavit. So Lamaisa, one of those are easy options, or the Ad Yehuda, that fundamentally there's actually a lot closer. The Rashba and Ran don't argue at such great extremes, and Shulchan Aruch could be holding of some concepts of each one of them together, which is that there's a bittul of the chefsa and bittul of the tam, and that's what Shulchan Aruch could hold. It's not actually any mutually exclusive thing for Shulchan Aruch to hold of both shittos, the coolest of both. And I want to now go on to describe just a further small nafkaminas between the Ran and the Rashba, and then we're really going to do the Shulchan Aruch inside one piece at a time. So, the first nafkamina we said was an increased shear. Rashba says that mutter, the Ran says it's aser. Then we had chametz, that the Rashba would be machmer, the Ran would be mekel. Rove is another question. Rabbi Kveger, it's also in the makoros that I had last time, and I'm going to send more makoros at the end. What would it be if you had rove of iser? If you had majority of the vinegar that's negative compared to the beans or anything else? So the Rashba says that's for sure aser because you don't have bittel. And it doesn't matter the fact that it's a negative taste, but bottom line, as long as I still have some be'in of iser, well, I can't possibly eat that, that's aser. However, the Ran never explicitly says in the piece that's quoted in the Beis Yosef, in the Shach, in the halachos of the Ran, it's not quoted that you need rov. Maybe, Rabbi Kager says, even if you do not have rov, it'll still be mutter. As long as it's petarov, it's mixed up, you can't see, it's not nicker, but natural, so then we could use the concept of the Ran to matir. Tremendous chiddush. that could be true. And there's a diyuk in Shulchan Aruch because it's brought as two different opinions, and each opinion doesn't hold of the other. It's possible that the Ran never hold of the Rashba. That could, okay, potentially that's another nafkamina. Rabbi Mordechai Linzer, when he gave a shir on this, is from the Mir, is Rabbi Wiedebling's friend. He brought up that the Chidushe Haran has absolutely opposite Chiddush. First, actually, before I mention that, the Ran in another piece in Avodah Zarah says, and by Achbar, not much later, he says you do need Rov. So it seems like, first of all, the Rukiger says explicitly that this is a nafkamina, that according to the Rashba, you need Rov. According to the Ran, you don't need Rov. It's so powerful, no time left gone, that it matters as long as you don't get Hana, completely whether or not you have Rov. The Ha'ara that people make is that if you look later in the Ran, we do see the fact that he does require Rov by Achbar, and it'll be the next Simon in Kuf Dalet. So I'll give an answer in a moment from the Ba'alei Shulchan for that question, but that's one part of the Ran. The Ran does seem to require some bittul. And then the Chidushe Ran, this Rabbi Linzer pointed out, the Chidushe Ran on the same daf explains the whole Mahalach of the Rashba, anywhere he disagrees, exactly like he has in Halachas. And then he adds in, and if it would be even Kazai Kadei Achila Pras of Isser, for sure, of course, there's nothing to talk about that the food is Asr, even by Not Tam of Gam. So the Ran, Tam of Zayin, and Alf, and the Chidushim does sound like that he also accepted some concepts of the Rashba that you do require some bittul, because otherwise it's hard to believe, and the Miri quotes that as well, that Kazai Chil Pras Chiddush, that would be hard to believe that you would say, if you didn't, whatever, you can't possibly hold a, it seems to me, you can't possibly hold the Rabbi Kvieger and Matir when there's Rov Isser, and then yet say, well, Kazai Chil Pras of Isser, that's also obviously Isser. Obviously that's not the case. It seems either we don't hold the Chiddush, you know, the Rabbi Kvieger didn't have the Chiddush Haran, or whatever, his learning was within the halachas of the Ran, his lamdas. In terms of the Ran that's in the halachas in by Achbar, so the Ba'alei Shulchan brings something else up, which is, I think, anyway, interesting to discuss. What do we say by bugs? Bugs that are nashur katsa behem. So this is another thing just to be aware of. In the halacha, lamaisa, it's the end, it's in our simon as well, but it's really the end of Kuf Dalid. Very practical. If a bug that falls into your soup, or and then you take it out with a spoon or with a ladle, does it trafe stuff up? So the Rashba is quoting Shulchan Aruch, and then the Kuf Dalet says we assume anything that's nashur shalom katzav hem, things that people dislike and find disgusting to them, well then we assume is no tzitam lefkam. So bugs are assumed to be like that. That's the opinion of the Rashba. There's Marshal, whatever that disagrees, but that's the opinion of Shulchan Aruch that's brought. And so the question is, why is it true that a bug, when you eat the disgusting bug in and of itself, there's malchus, it's aser, you can't eat that. But yet, the minute that you put it into arovas, it's balta because of not tam lefgam. So the question is, the ra'ah is the one who attacks the rashba, and I was reading this mistakenly last time, but this is the ra'ah that I was reading last time on Yud Tadam Abiz in the Torah Sabayit, in Shar Aleph, in the Shar Tarugos, that the Ra'ah has the question. He says he doesn't understand why it would be that by bugs you could say no tam lefkam. Once we know that there's a chiddush of the Torah that if you eat the bug itself, even though it's disgusting, it's not human edible, it's still usher, so why is there any rule of no tam lefkam? That's the question the Ra'ah asked on the Rashba. And it's not just I wish I had all my things in front of me, but basically it's a Gemara. He's just asking that actually was the opinion of Rav Sheshet. When they were discussing Rav's opinion by the Achbar, that Mamish was the idea that one of the Amorayim had. If something's disgusting, but yet the Torah assers it, well then you lose all the kulas of Notz Tam Lefgam. That is the Chiddush of Rav Sheshet. The question is, L'halacha do we follow Rav Sheshet? So the Ra'ah said, yes, there's no machlokas Rav Sheshet and Ravan, there's no machlokas Amoraim. You'll do this more, I'm only just saying it the kitzer because it's really Kuf Dalet discussion. But that's the machlokas Amoraim. In the Gemara, says the Rashba, and so therefore Rav Sheshet says that, but we don't follow Rav Sheshet, and we assume even though a bug in and of itself is disgusting, and yet it's still the Torah assers, even though Aval Pikin, even though it's disgusting, the Torah still assered it, yet we still have the kulos of no tam lefkam, as opposed to Rav Sheshet. He said, if it's excluded from the rule that in Roy Lager, well then it should be excluded from no tam lefkam. The Ra'ah felt, We can't follow either. He says explicitly, Rav and Rosh Hashanah don't disagree. It's a Mukhrach Svari. He said, how could it be that something is half excluded from the Psukim of Nodz Tamlef Kamen? And he's Lashitaso. That's the Ra'ah. The Rashba, the way he fundamentally answers it, is with his Shita, is very easy. There's two concepts. There's something that's Be'in and something that's Tam. As long as it's Be'in and he's Bitl Barov. And as long as it's just Tam, it just needs to be negative. And therefore, the rule of the idea that the Torah says bugs are disgusting and yet they're usser, even though they're not Roy Laguerre, that only tells you when it's Be'in. Even though it's Be'in itself, well then, yes, it's usser, yes, it's disgusting, but there's no kula of the fact that something's disgusting with the usser. It doesn't, though, therefore show the minute that it's in a taroves that we can't use the concepts of bitul barov, and it doesn't tell you the concept that we can't use tam kikar when it's negative doesn't apply. Okay, that's how the Rashba answers the Ra's question. I don't know, if anything is not clear, please ask. I'll try to say that just clearly. The question basically from the Ra, but it's based on the Gemara, is, it's by the Achbar with Rav. The basic question is, if you say something is excluded from the rules and the chidushim of in a Roy Laguerre, well then it should also be excluded from Notz Tam Lefgam. And so every bug should aser your cholent. It shouldn't use the rules of Notz Tam Lefgam. That's the question. And the Rashba's answer is, that's not a fair question. I can tell you there's two different concepts here. One is a Be'in concept, one is a Tam concept. And even though something is excluded from the Be'in concept, we could still be included in the, and the Be'in will be Usur, the Tam could still be Mutter, as long as it's not Rov. That's Rashba's idea. This is what we would say for the crazy place. Yes, the last time, could also say that in the Rambam by Basar B'Chalov, that maybe Basar B'Chalov is excluded from the Kulas of Be'in in Rilagir, but are included by Notam Lefgam from Rav Yashiv, that split. Anyway, for the Ran, this question is even more powerful. And the Mishpat Zov Aleph, the Prima Gaonim, asks this question. He says, I understand very nicely what the Rashba answered to this sugi by Achmar, what he meant, that when you have a bug, the Be'in is Asur, but the Tam will be Mutter, because they're two different concepts. But for the Rashba, for the Ran, is one fluid, one uniform halacha, that as long as you don't get Hana, it's Mutter, whether it's Be'in or whether it's in Tam. So then why all of a sudden when it's a bug, the Be'in we aser, but all of a sudden when it's in Tarovis, we matir. So he doesn't assume like the Ra'ah that it's actually aser. The Ran Beferish by Achbar says, we assume no time of Kam even applies to the Achbar of the Mata that is discussed, and we use Rov. So why is it aser? Why is it mutter? The Ran himself does not explain. But in that context, he does assume you need Rov. So the Bar Yochanan tries to answer two questions with one answer. He says, the Prima Gaonim doesn't answer this question. He says, Yesh li Yashiv. He just says, you could answer. Between the two questions we're asking, one of them is, why does the Ran, when he's talking about Notz Tam Lefgam in general, does not think you need Rov, or doesn't say you need Rov, and Rekivir says you don't need Rov, as long as it's just a question of Hana. But yet when he's discussing the Achbar, all of a sudden he says you do need Rov. And the other question is, how does the Ran explain why by Achbar the Be'in will be Usur, and yet the Tam will be Mutter? So, I don't have it in front of me, but the Bar Yochanan, the Biurim, in the very beginning, says that the Pshat is still, even in the, one second, let me just see if I can find this in my notes. The Bar Yochanan says, I'm just going to pull out the Bar Yochanan one second. Sorry. So the Bade Shulchan is the beginning of Kof Gimel. He says there's the Chiddush of Tam Kikar is still true only when it's positive and not negative. That idea applies very much in the Ran's world, just like it applies like in the Rashba's world. And that idea is only necessary when we're talking about bugs. He says, basically, when we're talking about most foods, so we use the same idea. The one idea that the Be'in will be mutter as long as you're not getting Hana. And therefore, the Tam, you don't need to get into any concept of the Rashba for the Ran. It's very obvious. The reason the time is mutter is you don't get an hana. Just like the be'in will be mutter when you don't get an hana, so the talmi mutter when you don't get an hana. As long as it's detrimental, it's mutter. That's all true for the ra. But the minute we talk about bugs, he accepted the ra's question in some sense. He says, well, now that it's actually excluded from the parsha in Roy Lager, the be'in, so then why is it follow that, why should it be that the talmi mutter? He said, oh, well, then I will have to come on to the Rashba's Chiddush to hold that note that the tam kicker does not kick in when it's negative. And then you'll only be able to say that as long as there's rov to be made. Okay? This is on Kufsama, whatever. In the first Biurim, it's Dira Machal Kol Davar. I don't know, is that clear or not clear?
Can we read the Bala Shulchan once more?
Yeah, I'm going to read the words just so it makes sense. He says, I am Bifnim, look where I said, something is discussing on its own, we still use the rules of the town of Kam as long as there's rov. He says, we should be asking, though, why for the Ran is this going to be true? Ran yish rak dinecha shal nevela shein roi lager kol shein in anem in a yisir ma'akma pagmo etira Torah harib ochle ma'usim lo nemar din zeh. The question is, we never have such a concept. That, in fact, the Ra'al says, is such a good question, it's actually usir. The Nota Dam of Gan is actually usher by bugs. We don't follow the Ra'ah, but that's the opinion of the Ra'ah. Now, Kvar Amen Bezam and Mishra Zav, Kachi Yeshi Yashi, and he didn't actually spell it out. Nir Kavanoso. After Dina the In Roy Lager, Echad Hu Be'isr Atzmo, Umanesinus Kamo. Yes, it's a uniform concept. Be'isr Atzmo, Umanesinus Kam. Mikomakom, Ma She'isr Oser Tarovis, Avkshen Upogum, who Din Nosef Shotam Kaker. When we're talking about a tarovis, yes, underlying the concept of no tam lakam, both by be'in and by tarovis is the same, but mashe iser oser tarovis, avgshein opogum, who didn't know sash tam keker. You could say in the Rav Chaim world, this is that tam keker is a chiddush of the Torah, it's not that it's nikar and megala on the old iser. That's how, and then he explained. Even though we have a Kaddish in the Torah for the Be'in, that's not the case by Mikomakom, Invachabal Elachi Dusho, Vishabala Sarmidin Tam Kaker, Lonem or Kaddish Zeh. And then we come back to the Klal, Koshein Ruhr the Ger, will be Mutter, and then we'll use the concept of if it's negative taste is Mutter, and he says, Arviach Lo Zeh, we're Marviach, big Kasha now. He says, that the Ran usually does not need Rove, like the Kvager shows, but then you look, when he talks about the Akbar, and he says, you need Rov? And he says, oh, this is the same answer. That as long as we're talking about disgusting items, then we cannot use the general concept that as long as there's no Hana, it's Mutter. You have to come on to a more dynamic, more specific, accurate concept, a more specific concept that, oh, because Tam Kaker is a new Halacha that only Asers when it's positive, but won't Aser when it's negative. Then you'll have to come on to Rov. And now this, just to touch on a bigger nerve, a bigger issue, this answer is assuming Tam Kaker does not requires even when there's no Tam Kaker, you still require Rov to match your Tam, and that it might be meaning. Let's say someone holds Tam Kaker Derabanan. Tam Kaker is not an issue, or in our sugya, Tam Kaker by Pagam is not Tam. Detrimental Tam is not Tam. Do you still require Rov for that Tam or not? So Rashi on Sadeh Chanam Abay is very famous. He is the one that holds Tam Kaker Derabanan. And yet he thinks you need Rov. He says very clearly that you need Rov. The Achronim or Medayik, maybe in the Tosis there on Sadeh Chanam, he does not think that way. And Tosis on Kuf Yod Aleph and Abay, I believe, is very clear like that. He says, what's the idea of seer? Seer from a bug that you have a pasuk to teach you as usher. And this is just a side point, so don't get so lost if this does. I'm trying to just touch back on Sadeh Chanam issues. He says, I don't understand why the Torah needed a pasuk for that. I have a pasuk called Tam Kaker. He says, oh, you're right, you don't need a pasuk for that. The Rashba, though, answers, in fact, there's two different dinim. One is that Tam exists, and that's the Tamei Yelachem, that Seer exists, that's Aser. And then there's a totally different concept of Tam Kaker that's not Baal Tabarov. But they're not one and the same. So this answer, the Baal Shulchan in the Ran, is assuming the Ran is going to hold like the Tosos, is going to hold like the Rashba, not like the Tosis in that particular question. Whether or not, does Tam even exist if you hold not Tam Kaker? Does that make sense? Okay. Just to put that out there. Okay. Now I want to go to another nafkamina. We get one last nafkamina. If you have a pogum taste because of you added something else. So let me give an example. The Baal HaShulchan brings, not when you're missing spices. That we're going to deal with the Gemara, but as long as it's negative, it's mutter. What happens if you have 30 kazesim of yirakos, and apparently in this type of dish you made, if you have too much meat, it's going to be pogum. So if you have one kazayis, it's going to be pogum. It's going to be good tasting. And if you have two kazayis, it's going to be negative. The shaila is whether or not we say no to namaskam on the two kazayis of meat. One of them is a heter piece of meat, and the other one is the aser piece of meat. And it is negative, that second piece of meat, but it's only negative because of the other heter piece of meat. You know what? Maybe. Okay, just a Maror Makom that the Baal HaShulchan tries to discuss. And maybe that's a nafkamina between the Ran and the Rashba. Okay, I'll give Maror Makomos for that and go on later. It's in page Reish Zion, Divar Machla, O Pogum, in Sif Beis. Okay. To go on though, now to Sif Aleph in Shulchan Aruch and the Shach. So Sif Aleph in Shulchan Aruch tells us Kol davar shetalmo pagum, anything that's negative taste, ain't ozer tarovato, afilo ain't talmo pagum, machman atmo, shivifne atmo, hu mutam hu mushbach, el shepogum tarovato, mutter. If something is negative, even if in and of itself it's good tasting, vinegar itself could be good, but the minute it goes into the grisim is negative, that is going to be ozer. That's the statement Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah. Miu dvarma chashuvim kibirya, Oh, kayota b'zeh, imein pogum v'atzmon, al pish pogum v'ogmin, atashil, ina b'telum afilu b'elef. If you have something that's like davar chashuv, that doesn't use the rules of bittul, for example, birya, and davar chashuv, and davar shevim minyan, but if it's pogum, says the Ramah, then there's no, and from the Isra v'heter, there's no rules of davar that's not pogum, davar that's not bittul when you're talking about something that's pogum. So, there's two explanations in the Achronim on this Ramah. It's a very fundamental argument. I'm not going to be Maarich so much, but it's very, very important to know of. The Aruch HaShulchan says, and this is the more advantageous pshat, the grander pshat, his pshat in the Ramah is the as long as it's not chashuv, then we lose the kula, then we lose the chumras and everything else. As long as it's negative to your tarovis, well then we lose all the chumras of something not being batel. So for bugs, which are maos, and bugs that people don't want to eat are maos, we assume, and then the kuf dalid, so therefore the Aruch HaShulchan says that we shouldn't have to contend with the issues of birya by bugs. And he brings this as one of his many limudei zechus on the mekilim on bugs. And he brings this as one of his factors, is this Ramah, it's a mefurish Ramah, the Ramah said, if something is pagum, it's disgusting, and look in Kuf Dal at the end that we say something disgusting to Bnei Adam, to society, is considered pogum, and therefore bugs should not have the din of birya. That's the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan. Kaf HaChaim, let's say, gets very upset. He just says, if you look around Shulchan Aruch, that's not what they were saying. You look when in the end of Kuf Gimel, we'll talk about the Rashba and the Tshuva before and after when they talk about bugs in Taroves. They don't seem to assume this kula of this is v'heter. They seem to say very clearly, bugs do have a din birya. So the Aruch HaShulchan is aware of that, but he gives terutzim. Okay, Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold of it, it's only the Ramah. He gives terutzim, but yes, he knows it's only a limud zchus. So what is better pshat in the Ramah? So the Gra here, Minchas Yaakov Pri Chadash, many Achronim, it sounds like this, maybe I think in the Taz as well. The many Achorim say pshat in the Ramah here, in let's say Gra Beis, he says, Kan ayre birya chashuva kigon of tamei shenisrcha. We're talking about that something that's pogum in and of itself that became disgusting that was once tasting good. In other words, not something that was originally tasted terrible. If you had a bug that tasted terrible and then just got a little more disgusting, that will still have the rules of birya. We didn't rule, and the reason being that the be'in is still not batel. Right? Birya is a din in not tam. Birya is a din in be'in. And therefore, just because something is negative, so then all the rules of be'in still apply. Meaning, in other words, as we've been going now, in let's say Sadi Chet is a din in is a sugya in Taroves, Simon Kuf, Kuf Aleph, Kuf Beis are mostly sugyas in, not Taroves, mostly sugyas in Yavish B'Yavish. And so and you have Yavish B'Yavish of bugs, so bugs are a din birya, they're not batel. That's what it says in Simon Kuf, because they're a din birya. So just because they became pogum, pogum to matter a be'in in the Yavish B'Yavish sense would only be mutter if it's inedible. But does that rule of being inedible help bugs? The answer is no, it doesn't help bugs. Because bugs were always us, even though they're disgusting to begin with. So therefore, that's the gra, that we're talking about something that was good tasting that became disgusting afterward. That does not have the din birya. That's what their mom means. Okay? There is like a...
Just a question.
Yeah, please.
Isn't that poshut from the Ramah? Because he says it's enon pagumi me'atzman. So it has to be not a bug, because that would be pagumi me'atzman.
So, in pagum atzmam, is pagum atashel in a betela. No. The implication of the Ramah is, as long as it is not pagum in of itself, well, then it's not batel. But if it would be pagum ba'atzmo, then it would be batel. Sorry, so the Ramah is saying, as long as something is not pagum ba'atzem, then it will not be batel. But if it is pagum ba'atzem, it will be batel. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, okay, pagum ba'atzem just means disgusting to people. And so bugs should be disgusting to people and should be murdered. I think most Achorim don't assume that Aruch HaShulchan.
No, I understand. What I'm saying is that what the Gra is pointing out is poshut that the Ramah himself is not talking, at least explicitly, in his statement about bugs, because there's no such thing as bugs, at least according to the definition of the Aruch HaShulchan, which are Einan Pagumim Be'at. So, meaning the Gra's statement isn't a finish per se.
Well, I think the Aruch HaShulchan say there are different types of bugs. In our day, everything is pagum. In the days of the Ramah, there were locusts that were delicious. I don't know, just like in Kuf Dalet, we distinguish between... We distinguish between the mouse of the country. It was a delicacy. Ola shochem alachem, the mice that were wild mice. People used to eat them. And now, but a city mouse was disgusting. And today, all mice are disgusting.
Whatever it is, what I'm saying is that by definition, whatever the Ramah is talking about is something that in and of itself is not inherently pagum be'atzmo, because otherwise his statement wouldn't make sense. So he must be talking about things which are inherently not pagum be'atzman. And then if they be, and then if they're pogame the tavshil, then they're enum betalim in that case. So he's not talking about something which is pagum be'atzman. So what the Gra is pointing out is not a fiddish, because it's poshut that his statement, the Ramah's statement, is talking about something that's not pagum be'atzman. Whatever that category applies to, it depends, maybe circumstantially.
Yes, but okay, so you're fine. So don't take my diak in the Gra. I'll have to learn the Gra, but just as a Mara Makom, let's say you can see in the Baal HaShulchan, the Achron do debate this Ramah about this point when he says if it's not Pagum Ba'atzman, implying if it would be Pagum Ba'atzman, whatever that category includes, then you will lose the rules of Birya and you'll be Makel, should that include bugs and the like. And fine, maybe the Gra is not the best proof, but I will say that the Pri Chodesh, the Kaf HaChaim, the Michas Yaakov, they are Machmer, they say, as Gazana was good tasting that became negative. Fine, maybe the Gra is not the clearest proof. Okay. It just, the Kaf HaChaim, I think, brings this as a proof. Just he says in the Torah's Chatas, when he brings this halacha from the Israel Heter, he writes that it means something that tasted good and became negative, not talking about bugs. So says the Kavachayim, it's a done deal, it's an open shot case. The Ramah himself commented on this. So if you look inside the nice Torah Chatas, you can see those words are not, they're in a footnote. They're not, the Rama wrote them. If someone put it in, it was the Milchas Yaakov. The footnotes were, whatever. It's not Ramosh Israelis. It's the Milchas Yaakov on the Torah Chatas who wrote those words. And that's true, that is his opinion. Anyway, I want to now do Shach Aleph. New topic about Notan Lefkan. So Shach Beis brings up the following topic. If something is neither negative nor positive, what would we say? So it's brought in the Beis Yosef, and the Shach brings the same thing from the Hagos Ashri. He says, well, that's Asur. You don't have, and you could, there are diukim in the Gemara both ways, right? And if it's Eno Necha, as long as something is not Hana, so it's, if you're not getting the Hana, from the item, then that's mutter, but otherwise it's aser. You can make diukim in the Gemara either way. Lemaisa, though, the Rishonim and Achronim here say, Davar she'ino notin lo l'shvach lo l'fkam is aser.
One of my notes is based on Yerushalmi.
Yes, so it's based on Yerushalmi. I want to discuss this for the next 10 minutes or so. The Shach here says, he thinks this is clear, and he brings proofs to it, and we're going to soon see that this Shach is actually very, very confusing. The Shach says, I want to bring two proofs. One proof is nearly Raya. First Raya is that Gid has no Tam. Gidim, we hold, don't have Tam. But yet the rule is when a Gid is Nimoach, in Simen Kuf, we say, Sif Beis, it still requires Shishim. So that puzzling Shulchan Aruch over there, based on the Rashba, could be a proof to this concept of something is neither negative nor positive, nor negative or positive, then it's still not batal. And then he brings another one, is the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi Trumos, Halacha Dalet, that it says over there, Hadamar lo l'shvach lo l'fkam is aser. Okay, so you look in the Minchas Kohen, the pre Megadim, I meant this in this house, Makoros, I'm going to send out Makoros after Shir, just so people have the Mar Makomos, where these things are found. But you see in the pre Megadim over here on Sifte Da'as Bet, he brings this, that the Milchas Kohen and pre Chadosh get very upset with the Shach, and they say, and the Milchas Yaakov as well, all three of them, they say, what's the Shach bringing a proof from Gid Anasha? Gid Anasha is Yavish Ke'ez, Aval Pike, and Asar HaTorah. It doesn't have a taste. And yet the Torah says it's Asar. So how could you bring a proof from there to every other Isser? Maybe that's true, that since it's discussed, even though it has no taste, it tastes like wood, yet it's Asar. That's not a proof from there to anything else. Maybe that's true. The Torah said that was Asar, and that's a specific case. But if you have something else, it's dried out, it should be Mutter. And for example, in the end of Pei Zion, Siv Yud, I believe, the Ramah brings from the Mordechai and other Rishonim that if you have a dry keva, the stomach of the animal gets really dried out, Yavis Ke'etz, so then there's no Basar B'chalav Shailas, there's no the Chora, no even Trefa Shailas. The Pisach Chuvah over there brings from the Shach in Kuf Yadal and other places that a Sheretz that's Nisraf, a burnt bug, if it's totally inedible, so it's Mutter. It's true by bugs, it's true by the keva, so there's Yavish Ke'etz is Mutter. So we don't understand what is the proof. That's what the Milchas Yaakov, Milchas Kohen, Pri Chodesh attack the Shach. They say, all the Lashonas are very fun. The Pri Chodesh always has the strongest Lashonas. He says, Kanayim v'tir amr, the Shach was sleeping when he wrote this comment, because it makes no sense. If you had something that's dry, it's in fact mutter when it gives no time to something else. But the gid is aser, that's because the Torah aser gid. Now, to explain this, and then the Yerushalmi, you could see also, Rav Moshe and the Tshuva, we're going to explain more about Rav Moshe, Chelek Beis, Simon Chav Dalet, he points out that the Yerushalmi is not a proof either. It's talking about when you have split grapes with wine, and it says over there that they're aser. And so he says, if you look in the Gra and you look at the Pnei Moshe on the Gemara over there, the Shonos Aliyahu, the Mishnayos and Trumos, he says the Pshat is because Min Mimino, grapes and wine could be mimimino. It's totally in vine, rava, shma, or tam, but it could be it's mimimino. And that's what it tells you. That's what all the Yerushalmi means is lo lishvach, lo lefgam, also when it has the same taste. It's mimimino, so it's also. All right, very nice. So the Shach's two proofs seem not to be proofs at all. That's the questions that the Achronim jump and attack the Shach.
Sorry, just a question. Yeah. On the Gemara Yerushalmi, that's not a raya if you hold Basar Shema, or it's not a raya if you hold Basar Taima?
I'm going to open it up because I have the Yerushalmi. It would not be a raya if you hold Basar... I don't know if it's talking about new or old. Sorry, I have to open it up to see what it's talking about. If it's talking about new or old. It's the mission. It's talking about not grapes. Sorry, it's olive and olive oil. It has zeitim, chulin, shekafshim, and zeitim truma. I mix the olives together, truma olives, non truma olives, and if they're broken, pitzuei chulin. If they're broken olives, in pitzuei chulin and shalomei truma, omei truma, or the olive juice, usur. Okay, fine. If they're whole, then the juice doesn't get into the olives. You just wash them off. Anyway, so it's talking about olives and olives, olive juice, and so over there. The Gemara doesn't explain new old. It doesn't explain it's Shema versus Tam, but it says over there, Lo lishvach lo lofgam aser. That's all the Gemara says. It doesn't really explain at all what this is discussing. But Shema, but Tam. What I think this would, it could be according to everybody. I just meant to give a reference to the Gemara and Avodah Zarah when they talk about this. It would be easier if you say Butter Tam than Butter Shema, because Butter Tam, they both taste the same, the olives and the olive oil. If they probably not call the same thing. Maybe, if we, I don't know, we try very hard, we can also call it the same thing. Because the olives are meant to be produced to olive oil. I don't know, I was referencing that. I don't know that the Pnei Moshe or the Gra actually use that, those phrases there, Butter Shema or Butter Tam. I do know they say it's Mimimino. Okay. The question now is, how do we explain the Shach? So the Prima Gadim gives an explanation which is also very difficult to explain, but he's the first one to be, we always should look at it when we see a tough Shach. So he says, the Micha Kohen and Prichadish Charapo, they attacked him. Ishtabish Tahani. So he uses the equally challenging language. He says, look, they made big mistakes. Michas Kohen and the Pri Chadosh. Now, I don't think the Pri Chadosh was a Kohen, but the Michas Kohen was a Kohen. And he was making a mistake about what the Shach meant. They didn't really... Oh, sorry. I apologize. The Michas Kohen said the Shabbish Kohen. He was arguing with the Shach, who was a Kohen. But in any event, the Prima Gadim says, I don't understand any Tama. I'm wondering on this. I don't know what they're accusing the Shach of. The Shach is very clear. You're right. The Gid is dry and tastes bad. And it has no taste. Sorry. It's not bad, but it has no taste. And yet the Torah answered it. You're right. Dry meat that's inedible, that's pig meat that became inedible like Yavish Ke'etz, could be able to be mutter. There are proofs to that. But that's only while it's dry. When it's chazu v'nimoch, when you cook it up and it gets moist again. It becomes also deraisa. Now, just by the way, he is taking an opinion on that chavos das. The chavos das says something that was inedible becomes revitalized. It's mutter. Mutter minatora. That's real chaim ozer by the gelatin. But this, there's a chasim sofer in Pezayin and the Pesach over there. No to be Yehuda. And others that assume not like this, they assume not like that Chavos Das, and this Prima Gadim is on that team with the Chasam Sofer, that they assume not like the Chavos Das, they assume that they Isser, and the Chavos Yoav, and the Yad Yehuda also assume like this Prima Gadim, that Isser can come back to be coming back to its original Isser. And therefore, they want to say Pshat in this Shach is that he's talking about something which, when you were to cook it, it would have no taste. That's why gid is the best example. It's true, gid in of itself is something that's dry, and yet the Torah asers it, but Even so, let's bring a proof from the fact that the Torah asks for something that doesn't have taste to general halachas when it's in a taroves. Meaning, why is gid when it's in a taroves not batel? Gid when it's in a taroves should be batel because it doesn't give a taste. And yet, the halacha, at least in Siman Kuf, is that it's asur. So therefore, we should be able to prove from that that something has no taste should become asur. And the Shach had no question with those questions of something that's dry kava or dry meat that was also became mutter when it dries out, because those cases are different. The Shach would say, those cases are going to be also when they're back in Tarovas. And here we're talking about something that is giving taste and it's not giving any positive or negative taste in Tarovas, but it's liquidy and moist and it's brought together, it's revitalized in Tarovas, and therefore those things would be also in the Tarovas. Those don't present any problem with the opinion of the Shach.
I don't understand the Hezbollah, though. Why, if there's no time, why should it answer in the Tower of us anyway?
Okay, so, fine. So, fine. Let me get to the heart of the question. Yes, that is the, you hit the nail on the head. You're going to thank you. So, this, I didn't get to send it yet, but the Mishmer Shalom is a commentary on the Prima Gadim. The Mishmer Shalom, it sounds like this also in the Yad of Ram, is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. They say what Prima Gadim means is that really, really has no taste at all, but something is absolutely asur deraisa, because until you're mevatel mi'otza mi'uto, until you're mevatel something completely, the isur is still there and needs bitul b'shisha. It's a tremendous chiddush. It doesn't seem to correspond to everything else we learn in Yoredeya, but that's how they are learning. That pleitos need bitul, mamish needs bitul, and as long as you're on shisha, it's still asur, even if it gives no taste at all. Okay? That's the, I'll send you the makoros, but just to make this sound a little better, just so it's not like this makes no sense, the Chavos Das in several places has this explanation for several things. Here's for, just giving you the Mar Makomos, then I'll explain them. Sadi Chet, Sif Katan Gimel, Sadi Chet, Sif Katan Chet, Sadi Tet Bet, and Kuf Tet Hey. These Chavos Das all elaborate on this fundamental, absolute Chishim, that in Sadi Sadiqat Gimel, he's answering up the Shach over there that's attacking the Ramah. He takes the Ramah to town, then he goes by Azlina Butter Shema, and the Shach says, what are you talking about? We go by Tam in all of Tarovas. So the Chavos Das comes to defend the Ramah, and he says, partly, based on Rashi's and Ramban and Tosus, that there is an idea of Shishim Deraisa, a Shishim that's a fundamental, absolute halacha. You always need Shishim Levatel, the Isser in and of Be'etzem. And he says, it's halacha Shmi Sinai that tells you to be able to, there's a Rashi in Pesachim that sounds like this, that tells you how to distinguish which cases you're going to use Shishim and which cases you're not going to use Shishim. But that, he says, is not based on Tam, it's actually based on a Deraisa. Fascinating. It's not just based on Zorah B'Shelo, but it's based on halacha Shmi Sinai. And halacha Shmi Sinai tells you when and where not to use Rov. When the Torah has a concept of Rov, the Torah has a concept of something greater than Rov, and halacha Shmi Sinai tells you which cases for which. That's Chavos Das over there. That's why he thinks it's learning about their time, about their Shema, not about their Taima. Sadi Chet, Chet is at the end of the Siman over there. He's dealing with two Yisurim Mevatlin Zadzeh. So he brings the Yisur Behetter, who says that even Batar and Cholov can't Mevatl one another. It's not the Pashas and the other Poskim. Rav Chaim in Perek Yedal and Hilchos Machal Sesuris says the same. I mean, he says it even more grand and more beautifully than the Chavos Das over there. But the Chavos Das says this is the Pshat. That's something that's in the Rav itself, Asur. You can't say it's going to be Batal, B'shishim, and Mevatal, other Isurim, because, and even if it's true, Isurim, Mevatal, and Zadzeh, but that's one Shem Isur, Basar, and Chalav. So they combine to one another. So they don't Mevatal one another, even though you will not taste it. You have Shishim of potatoes, one Kazayat of Shishim of potatoes, one Kazayat of milk, and one Kazayat of meat. You will not taste the Basar, and Chalav. It will be Asur. That's the Chavos Das over there. Right? Does that make sense? That Chavos Das? So that's a tremendous chiddush. The Rav Chaim thinks over there he thinks it's mustaber. He says you have 60 kazesim of isser, and you mix them all, 61 kazesim of isser, and you mix them in a pot. Would that possibly be mutter? Says Rav Chaim, of course, they'd be nisid deraisa to eat it. So I'm not entitled to an opinion, but I think that that's a big chiddush. I would pashas think that that's mutter. The drish on that simon kuf sadechat sounds like it should be mutter. And the footnotes in the fancy Rav Chaim, they have, not footnotes, in the back, they have someone who comments on that line. As well, that's a chiddush. Rav Chaim says misvar. The other Chavos Das is by the Atzamos, Tom Kolish over there in the beginning of Sayyitet, and Kuftet, he's taking on a Shach who says that min be'eno mino yavish be'yavish, and they require shishim, is only derabanan. And he is taking on the Tosus and the Trumas Adeshen that said it was deraisa. Shach says, cannot be deraisa. There's no such thing. There's no tam, yavish, yavish. Chavos Da'at over there says, shishim can very well be deraisa. In terms of Rishonim, the biggest opinion this might fit with is Rashi and Ramban, as Hadikhanim Abayis. The Ramban really holds of shishim deraisa. Okay. It's not classic. It's not pashas what we hold. But just to add to this, other Mar Makomos, just so you're aware, in Yoredeya land, even though it's very unpopular, this is the Chavos Das's explanation in Kuf, Simon Kuf, Sifkat and Hay over there, I believe, when he's addressing why in the world does Shulchan Aruch need Shishim for Gid? Shishim, there's Gid when it dissolves, needs Shishim. But there's no time. Over there, the Pre-Chadosh and Ilchas Kohen, again, Lishitasam say Shulchan Aruch is wrong. He should go with the other Deya in the Rashi. The 2 days in the Rashi, you need Rovi and Shishim. Shulchan Aruch says Shishim. But they say, we don't understand. So the Mincha Kohen and others say, Pshan in the Rashba is because he follows the Ramban. Then Nimcha Gufo, you can't use Kvela, you have to use Shishim. In the beginning of Sadi Chet, there's a four-way Machlokas Rishonim, when are you allowed to use Kvela? The Ram says you always use Kvela, Rashi says you always use Kvela and Shishim, and it tosses you either one, and then you finally get the opinion of the Ramban. The Ramban says it depends. If it's pure Tam, use Kvela. If it's Nimcha Gufo, the goof of the Isra went in, you gotta have Shishim. Can't use Kvela. Until you have Kvela, until you have Shishim, we're not gonna be Meikel. That is for the Chavazaz, that's a winner Ramban. That's a very important Ramban. He thinks that's actually Pshat and Shulchan Aruch and Zim Kuf. And Rabbi Wittebling pointed out to me, this is also the Gra's opinion of Shulchan Aruch. The Gra in Sadi Chet, in the very beginning, on Kvela, says, he quotes the Ramban, and then he says, it also, this is the way it sounds like in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Sif Beis, by Gid, that Nimcha requires Shishin. It's a Pela Gomer. The Bar Yochanan points this out in our Simen, that Chavos Da'as in Bagid and also this Gra, he doesn't quote the Gra, but he says he's never heard that the post came, that the Shtami from the post came that they said we followed this Ramban. We Pashas do not follow the Ramban. We follow the Rambam and the Balei Tosfos that you could use Kvela anytime, just in the theory. You can use Kvela anytime and you don't say you need Shishim Deraisa ever, and you don't say, and then Gid is a different shot, but they don't want to say the Ramban. All right, now. Other explanations in this Prima Gadim. So the Imre Baruch says a pshat in the Yalkut Mepharshim. He just says we're talking about where there is a taste. It's not talking about something that has no taste. Not like the Shach. Not like the Prima Gadim was assuming exactly. Well, sorry, not a pshat in Prima Gadim. Pshat in the Shach. The Imre Baruch says pshat is he's talking about where there is a taste. It's just not good and bad. And he's showing that the chiddush since Gid and Ashen is a chiddush, as we said before. And it needs 60, even though it's batel and has no taste. So he wants to bring a proof to where there is taste. Now the pshat in this Amri Baruch, I believe, is that Gid could also have taste. According to the Samach Sedek and Prima Gadim over there, Chavos Da'as brings us the second explanation over there in Simen Kuf, is why does Gid need Shishim? Answer is Gid needs Shishim because there's Tam Kolosh in the Gid once it's Nimcha. When it's not Nimcha, what?
No, we spoke to Gid that there is Tam, just that it's not significant.
Right, so then you could then explain our Shach, I think, a little better. The third explanation is Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe, in the Tshuva I said before, Bet Chaf Dalid, he has a Gevalik piece on this. He said he doesn't understand the Prima Gadim. He says it's Temua, and he doesn't like the Imre Baruch, he doesn't quote him by name, but he says he doesn't like that either because it sounds like we're talking about something that has no time at all. If he thinks Gid had Tam Kalash, he should have not really brought proof from there. He doesn't like that. He thinks that's not Pshat in the Shach. He thinks that Chavos Da'as is good. But that's not. That could be good pshat and Gid. It's not a good pshat in this shach. So Rav Moshe is a razzle-dazzle as a pshat. Just to say Rav Moshe's tshuva outside, so we get the practical piece of the Rav Moshe. He's talking about candy, like candy corn, Mike and Ike's, and many things are made with a shlack that's a glaze confectioner.
Bugs.
Yeah, made with bug products. It's very very.
Also, no,
oh.
The shellac, I forgot everything. Maybe.
Okay. Did everybody do this already? So I'll skip it.
No, you can say, I don't know if we still have much. I think Ramos, I discussed about the shellac, no?
Rabbi quoted this with Moshe. I mean, we didn't go through the whole thing, but we...
Okay, so go ahead. I'm saying...
Yeah. So very quick. Yeah, Chazar, so sorry. So yes, he basically says that there they talk a lot. He has a lot of in Yanim. Yotam and Tame Tame has no time. It wasn't absorbed by the bug. But then he says, regarding this Inyan, is that once they break it down, and it's Yavishke eats, and they just take the chemicals from these the bugs, and they put it with alcohol, so it has no taste. And he says, that'll be Baltabar Rov. There's no shishim in this confectioner glaze. But there is Rove. He says, Rove works. Maybe you'll ask me Arshach. Arshach says you need Shishim, even though it's not in the Lefkam and not Lishvach. He says, no. What the Shach means is, and this is, he thinks of Shach with the Gid and with this Yerushalmi, is when we're talking about Min Bimino. We're talking about something that's Min Bimino, but not going to give Tom, even if it would be Eno Mino. He says, there we still need Shishim. That's what the Shach's Chiddush is. And that's what he's trying to say, is he thinks Shach with Gid, is that maybe you would say min bimino is only gzera atomino, so it's only as far as mino eno mino would be shishim, and if it has no time, so it shouldn't be required shishim. He says over here the chiddush is that min bimino could sometimes require shishim because it's something that it's not shayach to come to time. Since it's not shayach to come to time at all, so you have to come to the objective shear of where if it would have come to time, it would be mutter. There's only derabanan. He says this is all one big extension of Gezero mino ato eno mino. That's Ramosha, and that's how he explains the Shach, and he thinks the Raya's are very clear. The Yerushalmi is great, and he says Gid is great. That's Ramosha's Yisod, and he's making on that Shlach, as I saw like Star K and OU are making on also. Okay.
According to the Shach,
yeah.
I mean, not just the Shach, but if you hold like the Ran, that the issue of Tam is all about Hana,
yeah.
So in this case, even though it's not, you're not nen and min ha'tam, obviously. But if it doesn't have a ta'am, bichlal, but it's still part of the ta'arovah, so now you have more that you're eating. So that would be nen anyway. So for sure that would be also then, right?
In a hanami, that's fine. That's, I think, true. But what if it's, what would be a case where it doesn't really add any significant amount that would actually be useful to you? Or you don't care about the volume? That would be this, the nafkamina. Even for the Ran. Okay, now back to other inyanim in the Shulchan Aruch. So, Sif Beis, in Kuf Gimel Sif Beis, he says, I'm not going to read all of it inside, because he already did a lot of it, but he talks about what happens if it changes in the middle of the process between good and bad. So, in the end of the Sif, in the Shulchan Aruch, before he gets to the Ramah, he says, as long as it's bad from beginning to end, that's mutter. But if it's hishpiach levesof pogim, pogim levesof hishpiach, aser. If it switches between good and bad, then it will be aser. And now the Shach says, well, what would be the status of something that was pogim and levesof hishpiach? It was negative and then becomes positive. He says in Sifkat and Hay that that'll be mutter as long as it is, sorry, Zion, Sifkat and Zion, it'll be mutter as long as it is pogum. Now, Pashas and the Pri Chodesh points this out. The Pri Chodesh argues. But it's based on the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says, this is not actually in the Gemara. The Gemara only said explicitly, Shpiach l'sof pogim is aser. Good and then bad. And what's pshat in good and then bad? I can give two pshat, but just the easy pshat is Tosus on the next daf, Sarichet says, pshat is because chal iser, kval chal iser. Once iser sets in, it doesn't become mutter. You could also say it has to do with like the ran of the hana. Bottom line, you are getting hana in the beginning, so it tells you fundamentally it's an usher type of food. Okay, but either way, that's a gemara. But what about pogim l'sof hishpiach? Where did that come from? Something that was negative and then becomes positive, that's usher. So the source for this is the Rambam, and it's in the Tur, and other Rishonim, and the Beis Yosef said, they got it as a kava chomer. A kava chomer. They said, if something which is going to become pogum, going to be negative in the end, is aser, the Gemara says. Hishpiach l'sof pogim is aser. Well, then kava chomer is something which, in the beginning is negative, and the end is good. Well, that for sure should be aser. Okay? So, that idea of a kava chomer, I think, fits best in like the logic of the Ran and the like, that it does not fit with the Tosus. If you think Tosus, hishpiach l'sof pogim is aser because kval chala iser, the iser was chal once it was hishpiach, well, then there's no kava chomer from that case when it was good in the beginning to when it's good in the end, right? So I don't think for Tosus the Beis Yosef makes any sense. I do think the Beis Yosef fits with the logic of the Ran and the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah talks about this case also. Their logic in this case is really because you're going to get hana from it when it's good. So fundamentally, it's considered a good food, even though later it comes bad, but we have to look at it as a good type of, a good infusion of taste, and therefore this is not negative for you. It gave you hana in the beginning, and therefore even if you didn't actually eat it, it's the type of thing that's considered good. Now we can learn a kavah chomer. If that's true, then even though I'm physically not getting any benefit hana from it, there's still the Torah asserts it because it's a type of thing that is shy of hana, because you could have had hana in the beginning. So then, kavah chomer, we should say, there's the Beis Yosef, kavah chomer, we should say, when it's going to be good in the end, I'm definitely going to get hana when I actually want to eat it, certainly we should aser. That's, I think, the kavah chomer in the Beis Yosef. And according to the Pri Chodesh and Beis Yosef, the Pri Chodesh spells this out, and other Acharim do as well, it should actually be against the Shach, there'll be aser while it is pogum in the beginning. The Medayik and the Rambam, you can see for yourself, it does, it's diukim like this. And in Kuf, in Sadi Ches, if you want to see as well, the same deal could be made. Sadi Ches, Sif Aleph, just to do a little Chazara, it says over there that as long as the Kfela tastes that it's negative, well, then it's Mutter. And it says, Hu Shiloye Sofa Lashpiach. As long as it's Pagam, it's Mutter. As long as it's not Sofa Lashpiach. It implies it's a statement. As long as the type of food won't be Sofa Lashpiach. But if it's Sofa Lashpiach, will be also even now, because it's Sofa Lashbiach. That's just a diuk, that's in the Rambam, a diuk in the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, that they follow the Pre-Chadish, not like the Shach, that who says it's Mutter in the meantime. The Shach, though, I don't think has to work with the Beis Yosef, because this is not a Gemara. This is just a Rambam, and it can say based on many other Rishonim, either this case will be Mutter entirely, or will be Mutter at least before it's Mashbiach. Okay? So the Shach doesn't have to work with that. It can fit very much better with the idea of Tosis. Just to mention two other ha'aras, one small ha'ara and then one real ha'ara on this point. One is, the Bar Shulchan has a discussion in the later stif of our sugya, our simen. He says, why do we talk about fat, and why do we talk about, let's say, honey in meat? Is that good or bad taste? Machlos Rishonim. Or oil with honey, oil with wine. Why do we debate this in the Rishonim? He says, go ask society, go ask your wife, go ask the chefs of the town, see, is it good or bad? So he says, maybe the Beit Din Shel Shlomo says it was only the Pogum of the Gemara, and that's it. And then everything afterwards, we can't assume what's Pogum and what's not. So this is the Bar Shulchan. So basically, you don't go by each and every generation. So he leaves it as a Chakira, whether or not you can go by everybody in your town to decide what's something's Pogum or not. It should change on your generation, or it goes by days of the Gemara. But then he says, but it seems to be an open shot case against that Beis Din Shlomo, or whatever, at least theoretically, you see Beferish against that, from Sadi Chet Aleph, from the Rambam, from Shulchan Aruch. You ask a Kfela, is it Pogum? A Kfela, you don't ask the Kfela of 500 CE of the days of the Gemara. They're not alive anymore. You ask the Kfela of 2020. So you see, we go by Pogum of today's society. That's the Bar Shulchan, that's the Pashas. Right? Forrest in the English Sefer and Laws of Kashrut just makes the harder that today we're spoiled, and so it's very hard to know what's negative for us. We call lots of things pogum and lots of things negative and tambein, and we're just very quick to say everything. And Halicha Shlomo or Shlomo Zal makes the same harder in Hilchos Pesach, Dalit Zion over there, that don't be so quick to call something in Roy Lachil, it's a medicine, because you see in the Gemara, the urine of the donkeys is considered usher, and he quotes Zeyasa Ozen Va'af, snot, mucus from a person's ears or nose. Those also would be Matami Mashkin. You see, those are called Roy La'achila. Even though nobody's eating mucus and earwax, he says, you see, in our day and age, we're spoiled, but we have to go by an objective person a little bit. Whatever. And that's right, Forrest's Ha'ara. In any event, the other horror I really want to make about this Shach and Beis Yosef is the Gra. The Gra in Sarichet is Marich, very much unlike a normal Derech, and it's Katan Dalet over there. Sarichet Dalet in the Gra. Gishmak piece, very complicated. He says, there's no Bavli on this topic, but there is a Yerushalmi about this case of Hishpiach L'Sof Pagum. It's a Beferish Yerushalmi. And it's Machlokas in Yerushalmi, Trumos, Perek Yud, Halacha Bet. Two halachas earlier than what the Shach was quoting in the beginning of the Siman. And it says there in the Yerushalmi, Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Reish Lakish says that both Hishbiach Lesof, that everybody, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, will agree if it was Pagum Lesof Hishbiach, that it will be Mutter. And as a machlug, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, by Pagum Lesof Hishbiach. So according to that, if you follow Rabbi Shimon, like we usually do, so we should match this case. Not only that, we should even match your Pagum Lesof Hishbiach, but that's against the Bavli, so we can't do that. So therefore, maybe we should just go the exact opposite way. But the Gra says, more meduic, he says, that's all nice, that's Rish Lakish, but we know we never follow Rish Lakish, we have Rabbi Yochanan there in the Gemara Yerushalmi. What does Rabbi Yochanan say? That both Hishbiach and Pagum of Hishbiach are the same thing. They have the same exact halacha, and they're equal, and both of them are mutter for Rabbi Shimon, also for Rabbi Meir. So therefore, the Gra says, in theory, we should really paskin, both of them are mutter. He says, but Shulchan Aruch paskin, both of them are aser. Why the Rambam paskin, both of them are aser? He said, oh, I'll tell you. The reason we pass the Mulder answer is because we follow Rabbi Meir. In totally up in upheaval, turns the tables and a comeback for the underdog, Rabbi Meir, and says we really follow the Shita of Rabbi Meir entirely. That Notin Tam Lefgam is Mutter when it's talking about Tam, but when we're talking about Bain, we really follow, we really follow Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir agrees that Notin Tam Lefgam is Mutter when it's totally disgusting. And when it's bad from the beginning of the Tarovis to the end of the Tarovis, Tosus, and the Gra says, oh, now I'm Arviach Tosus. Because Tosus on the Gemara, when they're talking about this in the Bavli, Hishbiach, Lezopogam, whatever, it's a suffix in Rabbi Yochanan on Tzadichat, he says, he has no idea why the Gemara is the suffix on this. It's a pasuk. Either you hold the Rabbi Meir or you hold the Rabbi Shimon. How can you be a mistapik whether or not Hishbiach, Lezopogam is mutter or not? Either it's pogam or it's not. So Tosus says, really, this is a third opinion. It's not in the Tanaim or Rabbi Yochanan, and he's half holding over Rabbi Meir, half holding over Rabbi Shimon. All right, very nice. He says, but according to this, you don't need to say that. We really do follow Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir is matter no Tan Lefkam completely, but anything that's in between, in beginning and the end, beginning or the end is bad, beginning or the end is good, rather, is going to be usher for Rabbi Meir. It's also good for a very famous, a very interesting, controversial Noda Behuda. I think it's Chavvav, I'll try to send it. The Noda Behuda, in fact, says we follow Rebbe Meir. In the Tshuva of the Har Svi that Recipe Yisrael Frank has about gelatin, he says it's entirely different than Rav Chaim Moser or Rav Aaron Kotler were talking about the gelatin. He says maybe it's not even true that we talk about if something's human and edible, it's mutter. That's the assumption that all the poskim, a human and edible is mutter. But Noda Behuda says we shouldn't follow Rebbe Shimon. We should, in fact, follow Rebbe Meir. It's Gevaldik. It's a very fascinating piece. He proves from all Hilchos Tumah that he thinks we paskin that. But you can see Chavav Gimel Amid Beis in Bechoros, Machlok is there, and Tosas there is Maksha. How come in the Gemara is by Tumah we assume like Rebbe Meir, and by Isra Hatter we follow Rabbi Shimon? Tosa says it's Svara. There's a difference between Tumah and the food. That Tumah, it doesn't, Shechot Zera, he says, or Dam, are not edible, and yet you could talk about being Matame. So there's no connection between Tumah and Ochel, even though they're learned from the exact same Pasuk. The same idea is that the food that's inedible doesn't have Tumah. Anyway, that's the grow over there, and it's totally on a Parish Mishnayos of the Rambam in Avodah Zarah, but he reads the Bavli and Yerushalmi together. It's very nice. The Gro has some comments about that Rambam. I'll just suffice it to say that it's a good Marim Makom. According to the Gra, he says the Beis Yosef, he likes directly the Shach, not the Beis Yosef over here. He says, Tau is Gadol. He says very strong words against the Beis Yosef. He says the Kal v'chomer of the Beis Yosef is wrong. The Rambam just got it from Yerushalmi. It's Kedarka b'chol Makom. Makom is Harbet. That the Rambam follows Yerushalmi. It's not a Kal v'chomer. Okay, now, just to say this Ramah, because it's so fundamental, and then we'll finish. The Ramah is talking about when you have any questions on what I said. The Ramah brings up a concept when you have like pulim agrisim. You have the iser of chomit, the grisim fall into your grisim, and it's hot, so it makes your food taste bad. The food's gonna be motor. You do need a kasher. Whenever you're using the rules of Notz Tam Lefkam, you still will need a kasher. That's not talking about when it's totally inedible, but when it's only pogim the taroves, pogim purta, and only makes a detrimental taste into your taroves, you do need a kasher. Okay, why do you need a kasher? The Gra gives an explanation because it could be next time you're going to use the pot, you're going to Shema Yavashbo, Dover Notin Tam, Lishvach. This is Groachet. And the Bari Shulchan likes that. He gives other explanations. But the basic idea is that you need a kasha because it could be you're going to use it next time for something that will be good tasting. For example, and this is a very complicated how this works, but just to streamline it, I cook the vinegar into my grease and it tastes bad. But the vinegar goes into the walls, and next time I'm going to cook meat. And the chomitz into the meat is good tasting. So therefore, if I don't kasher, I'm going to have good tasting usher grease, usher chomitz in my meat. And therefore, I have to kasher. Other, if I don't kasher, it's going to be a problem. The food's mutter, but you need to kasher the pot. The reason I mentioned it's confusing is because it really is a pre-megadim in the beginning of Sadi test that deals with when things go into pots, they usually go in mekusher evenly. So it's very odd that we say it's going to go in so that the isser goes in, but not the heter. But we'll assume that the isser goes in and the heter goes in, but it somehow becomes mutter, becomes a good tasting when it goes in different tarovas. Okay. Lamaisa, if the metzias is correct, that's why you need a kasher. Okay. So this situation doesn't happen. So the Ramadho says, however, if you give an example, you have two pots with one spoon, you go with a case where you have the grease in with chometz and you dip a spoon in and you take it out and you put it into a different pot, that second pot will not need to be kashered. Why? Because of not bar not. There's a big machlokas, shach and taz here in the Gozer Kesef. Just to summarize the basic point, the taz says you really don't need two pots. Even one pot could do it as long as you have not bar not. When you go from the spoon, he says the case of the Ramah is three, you don't need tam, because you have the grease in, the chometz into the spoon, and then from the neck, in the second pot, you take that same spoon and you have from the spoon to the food to the pot. So that's three no netam. You don't need three no netam, you only need two. And the Shach says, yeah, we're machmer like the Rivan by Bishel, you should require three no netam. Okay. It's definitely a good machlokas by not bar not. But just to clarify something that's very unclear about this piece is right. The I saw that brought that the second day in Tosfos about why would be machmir for Rashi or Rivan with the if you have noodles in your pot, that aflashic pot, right. He says it could be not just because it's not banapa bishul, but it could be because we assume that the calf is balea directly into the food without going through the water. It goes right. Directly.
It doesn't go through the pot. So I'm saying I saw some blood that here, I think.
The Achronim, I want just to clarify, why is it, when I was learning this right away, Wiederblink, he was very bothered by this question, why is it that we call this not bar not, and yet, why is it called not bar not? Not bar not is only mutter by hetero. If I have meat and milk, or if you hold the chametz as hetero, although we use not bar not, but if you have yisura, you never use not bar not. And why do we say, right, if I have something pork in a pot, I can use 100 pots, Isura is going to be Asir. That's the Ran and most Rishonim. So, why is it over here that when the tongue goes into the pot, we still say you have to kasher a pot? If it would be purely Hetera Bala, I would say, don't even kasher your pot. Because that which went in, it should be Mutter. The Tarufas that went in is a Mutter thing. Why should I have to bother to kasher it? But yet we don't say that. We say it's Asir. You do have to kasher it. But yet we use Nap Bar Nap. Okay, so you could say, you know, there are those who are makel, right? Wiederblink brought this up. There are those who are makel on Naparati Isura. There's a Ramban and Tosis, but that's not Pashas and Shulchan Aruch ever. The Shach says, Kol HaPoskim, Hiskimu, in Sadi Dalad, that Naparati Isura is Asir. So, what's Pshat over here is the Chazon Ish has a piece where he explains that he explains, I'll have to send in and more makoros, but basically he explains what's going on here is that you don't have notin tam of isser until it has a hakara, until it's recognized as usser in front of you, you're going to eat it this way. And therefore, a bli in a pot, and as long as it's going in from something that was mutter, is called naparnat of a tera. As long as the taroves was a hakara, was a recognition of heter, that's called an aparnat of heter, even though in the next taroves will be aser. We don't look at what it's coming from, we look at where it is coming from, not where it's going. Okay? The Chazon Ish, just to give the context, just to say it, and then I'll finish. The Chazon Ish is disagreeing with the Rabbi Kideger over there, that says, if you do, let's say, Hechsher Kalim, people this year might do Hechsher Kalim for Pesach, so it says the Rashba and the Magen Avraham, that you're not supposed to, if you have the Ben Yomo Kalim, you're not supposed to kasher Ben Yomo Kalim of Chametz, unless you have Shishim in the water. And if you have multiple Kalim, one after another, you're going to need Shishim connected every single Kli. So it's quickly going to be very difficult to get Shishim. That's the Magen Avraham. And so that's why we don't usually use Ben Yomo Kalim. It's a good idea not to. So there, the Rekager says, I don't understand the Magen Avraham. Once you had Shishim for the first Kli, you took it out, then it was bottled. It stays mutter. And he says, it should be mutter based on our simon. He says, he doesn't understand how could it be also, it should be better than not bar not. That we don't say chos v'neir. One thing is bottle, mvutel legamre. The time went into your water, bottle b'shishim should be mutter for the next kli. You should not say chos v'neir to add up all and then start up all the kelim. And the Chazon Ish is answering Rabbi Kager up, and he's saying for the Magen Avraham and for the Rashba, the halacha, the pshat in that is, when you mevat, when you dilute something down by shishim, it's not the same as notetam lefkam. Notetam lefkam is going to be mutter, and that's why it's not bar not to hetero. There's no hakara viser. And therefore you call it not bar not to hetero. It goes into the wall as a heter dika in entity, and therefore it went in as heter. It may come out as iser, but we look at it as not bar not to hetero. When it went in, it was heter. Mashinkin, when it's baltav shishim, right now it's mutter, but when that shishim is starved with another shishim, it's going to join together. Now there'll be an iser. So there's a hakara of iser, even b'shishim, so that's not naparnat of iser. That's going to be usr, and then chos v'neir when more shishim comes in, and therefore we will not use our concept of our simon. In fact, we'll say there's chos v'neir, and therefore you need a mevatel shishim every click. I'll try to send those to make it clear. Any questions on this or on any piece that I did today? Yeshukoch, just to, the basic point, just to, the topics we did today were the topic of reviewing the Ran and Rashba, the Nafkaminas, and the Shach, Sifkatan Beis, telling it's not good or bad, Prichadish's Kashas and Tirutim, the three Tirutim we had were from the Chavos Das Derech, something very objective, the Prima Gadim, Imre Baruch, it's revitalized, and then Rav Moshe, it's Mim Bimino, and then we dealt with if something is Hishpiach, Pagum, Sof Hishpiach, the Beis Yosef, Shach, Drachim, and then we dealt with the Napanata Hetira. I'm going to send out the Makoros, I know, later, just because I'm going to organize all the things that I said.
Also, you spoke about the innocent doesn't give up any time, like Gid or whatever.
Yes, something doesn't give up any time. That Shach and others that disagree and discuss that. Okay, thank you, Rabbi, very much.
So I want to thank yourself and in front of everybody for preparing these two shiur. And Bez Hashem, all goes well. Tomorrow, I'll continue with Steve Gimel, basically. Right? I think